The first reading is Psalm 103 in its entirety, a psalm of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
We continue our readings in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, where Mark takes some snapshots of Jesus' ministry to show us coming of the kingdom.
The Holy Gospel, according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Many people seek publicity at any cost. It seems particularly politicians try to put their name out there. If their story and message gets picked up by major news outlets, they seem to be happy. Getting airtime for your position and name is an important part of the political game. So politicians realize that at times to get that airtime, they have to provide news that has some shock potential. Indeed, some might even argue that any publicity is good publicity. Well, there are some exceptions to that. And more recognizable names are careful to get mainly favorable coverage. But the need to get their name out there is what drives many of their actions and statements. Well, today we also have a group of people who thrive on being famous. They thrive on others following their lifestyle and messages, normally on social media. These are the influencers, as they are called. They have a carefully curated presence on various internet platforms. Having as many followers as possible allows them not only to get the message across, but also to attract sponsors. They rely on being seen as successful and on others spreading the word. Well, even we here, when we have an event, we like for people to spread the word. We want to let as many people know as possible. We want them to know what's happening. And if people really enjoyed a concert, for example, we are happy that they tell others to tell them to come along next time. So it seems somewhat strange that after a successful freeing healing, Jesus sent the healed person away with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for cleansing as a testimony for them. Why would Jesus want to keep the healing secret? Well, in the Gospel of Mark, this strict order by Jesus not to tell anyone happened so often that scholars have described it as the Markan secret. The Gospel of Mark emphasizes that Jesus did not want the world to know a few things, at least at that time, particularly the healings and confessions that Jesus was the Messiah or the Son of David. Now, of course, these things are entirely positive and were certainly seen as positive in the Jewish world then. So why did Jesus then not want the word to spread? Well, the best explanation is that Jesus used the command to silence to protect himself from false messianic expectations. Most people at the time longed for a Messiah who would break the yoke of the oppressors, who would drive the Romans and their tyrannical puppet kings into the sea, and make Israel a pure and free nation again. Sometimes in our services, we say the Benedictus together. That's the prayer of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And in that prayer, we say also that the oath that God swore to our ancestors, to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Now, if that prayer, or this part of the prayer, is taken in a military sense, as many Jews did take similar prayers at that time, then the Messiah is seen as a military hero who would bring about the freedom of the Jews from the oppressors. Indeed, some looked back at the time when the Maccabees, a few hundred years before Jesus, when the Maccabees threw off the yoke of the Greek oppressors at that time and established a more or less religious state around Jerusalem. That didn't turn out very well, as the religious state descended into violence, corruption, and petty politics, so that it was easily overrun by more powerful empires. Nevertheless, at that time, the warrior hero is what many Jews wanted. And even after years of wandering with Jesus, it seems that some disciples had not let go of that understanding of the Messiah. Maybe they didn't listen to Jesus. But while Jesus was heading to Jerusalem, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us what we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They replied, Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Now, most likely that was a wish for prominent positions here on earth, but even if it referred to glory beyond this earthly realm, Jesus makes it clear that their thinking of who the Messiah would be was wrong. In my sermons, I don't normally quote the rock group The Rolling Stones, but there's one song that might describe somewhat incompletely this aspect of Jesus' ministry. And the chorus goes, "You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find you get what you need." Well, Jesus was not the Messiah his disciples or most Jews at the time wanted, but Jesus was the Messiah they needed. Jesus might not be the Savior we want, but Jesus is the Savior we need. Often we seem keen to point out the enemy and feel that if only this situation, this group, or this person is eliminated, then everything would be fine, then we are saved in a sense. But Jesus was here on earth to deal with a far more fundamental problem than one specific oppressive empire or one injustice among the million instances of injustice, great or small, that have beset humanity throughout the ages. No, Jesus came to address the very basis of the human condition. Jesus dealt with the human estrangement from God, the human rejection of what it means to be truly human. Jesus addressed the futility to which the whole world is subject to. Through that command to silence, the mark in secret, the gospel makes it clear that Jesus cannot be fully understood until we come to the cross and the resurrection. Only at the cross can Jesus be rightly known, not as the warrior hero, not as the great moral teacher, not as a miracle worker, and not as the answer to this or that question that we assume to be the central question of the world. At the cross, Jesus is revealed as the suffering Son of God, whose suffering and death reveal the triumph of God, as is confirmed by the resurrection. The death of Jesus on the cross is not somehow inconsistent with Jesus' ministry up to that point. The teaching, the acts of loving service, the healing, all those make sense through the cross and give sense in turn to Jesus' death. Here is God's self-giving love. Here is the coming of God's kingdom, even in the face of human attempts of grandeur and self-realization. It is through the cross that humanity and God are reconciled. It is through the cross that the forgiveness of sins is given to all people. God takes on himself all the pain and penalty of human sinfulness in the person of Jesus. The powers of darkness which bind people to them, they were broken on the cross. God is not the distant God who is totally disconnected from the drama that unfolds in the world. And so here I want to quote words from a father who grieved when his son died in an accident. As he reflected on the loss, he realized, "God is not only the God of the sufferers, but the God who suffers. The pain and fallenness of humanity have entered into his heart. And so through the prism of my tears, I have seen a suffering God and a great mystery. To redeem our brokenness and lovelessness, God sent his beloved Son to suffer like us, through his suffering to redeem us from suffering and evil. Instead of explaining our suffering, God shares it." Jesus may not be the Messiah we want, but Jesus is the Messiah we need.